This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Alton. This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to be speaking today with Mairead Nimwini from the band Alton, and she is calling us today by phone. And Mairead, I'm trying to remember, where are you calling us from?
I'm calling you from Pennsylvania. We're playing Sellersville Theater tonight in Sellersville, Pennsylvania. So we just arrived in the country yesterday, and this will be our first night in the U.S.,
for this tour, certainly.
For this tour, yes.
You're certainly very familiar with the United States in the course of the band's 30-plus year career, and we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Yes.
Certainly, Alton, can we use the term legendary? Because I'd like to use the term...
You make me feel old then.
Well, I'm going to use the term legendary group of musicians from County Donegal, if I'm not mistaken, originally.
Yeah.
And very, very familiar to not just fans of Irish and Celtic music, but fans of all different kinds of just fine music all the way around. And one of the ways that I think is an indication of that is the collaborations. In addition to all the great stuff that the band has done on its own, the collaborations that the group has done reflects that diversity, a wide range of artists that you guys have worked with. Bonnie Raitt, Enya, The Chieftains, Alison Krauss, Dolly Parton, just to name a few. And
all great people.
Certainly.
Amazing musicians, all of them.
Right. And I'd forgotten that the band was the first traditional Irish group to sign with a major label, so...
Yes, Virgin Records in London came and listened to us when we were in London one night and asked us to sign. And that's when signing onto major labels was a big deal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we were delighted that they saw potential in the band, and it actually helped us to just get to a wider audience. We played great venues all over the world because of that.
Well, and I want to get back to that and kind of compare and contrast that experience to what the experience is today in terms of recording. But before we do that, I guess one of the first things that jumps out to me and looking at the bio of the band and kind of approaching this interview is we got to talk about this anniversary of 30 years.
Yes.
legendary
that
band
makes me
and
tired.
All. Makes you tired just hearing it. 30 years on the road, and also 30 years as a band from the start, as Alton. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. Well, you know, I suppose we were playing informally together prior to that, most of the original band. But it's definitely 30 years since we started playing as a professional band and touring. Like music was part of our lives all the time since we were all children. And it was only natural that we'd all get together and play informally initially. And then we realized that there was a market there for traditional Irish music as a band ensemble. So we were one of the first bands really from Ireland to come across along with the Chieftains and the Danann and start playing on this side of the water. And I have to say, we have a lot to thank the American public for, because I don't think we would have survived this long without the audience we have on this side of the Atlantic. Mm. It's been just a fantastic journey.
Do you remember the first, what we would call maybe the first official performance of Alton? No, you don't?
That's true. I don't. I remember playing with Mark Kelly and Kieran Corn at the Listowel Writers Week, which was way back in the 80s. And, I can't even remember. It might have been even the 70s. But that wasn't Alton, you know. That was just Frankie and I getting together and asking our friends to play along with us. Mm-hmm. But it evolved kind of organically, if you understand what I mean. So
sure.
That's why we don't remember the very official first Alton gig.
And we should tell listeners, in case that for some reason they're not familiar, when you speak of Frankie, we're speaking of Frankie Kennedy, with whom you started the group.
Right.
Maybe let's, if not the first official performance, maybe can you reflect on the first time when you as a group felt like, hey, I think maybe we're onto something here. It's not going to be just an informal get together, but I think we maybe have a band, so to speak.
Yes, I think we played together in a session one night. Frankie ended up in a session with Mark Kelly and Kieran Corn, and he just came back home after the session. He said, there's a wonderful combination happening here between guitar and bouzouki. We should really think about this as a band.
Star, 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 star
Maria, speaking of the musical derivation of the band and the tonal colors that helped inspire it. First of all, I'm fascinated to hear that. Mm-hmm. But of course, the other thing that's a huge part of it is the language. One of the things that I came across in the group's bio online was the sentence that Frankie Kennedy met Irish speaker and musician. So, you know, Maraid. And so it brought home, you know, the importance of and significance of your mastery of the language first and foremost in a way that I think that it caught my attention. So let's talk about that a little bit in terms of just how vital that is to what the band's doing and just you as a musician, too.
Well, it's actually more important than that. Again, you know, the language, our Gaelic language, actually is the rhythm of our music. And if you read Ulysses, our great writers, the reason they stood out as writers is, well, it was said that they would listen to Gaelic speakers, and although they were writing in the English language, it was a totally different English language to what you'd hear in England, because the Gaelic influence was there and the rhythm of the language was there. And the rhythm of the language is also the rhythm of our music. So, like, to me, and I would never have met Frankie because unless he was going to learn the language, because he was in Donegal to learn the Gaelic language. So that's one of the vital, important things mm-hmm. that brought us together, was he was there to learn the language. The language, which is a dying language, I'm sad to say, but a lot of people realize its innate beauty and the importance of it in our psyche, especially nowadays when things become more generic and everything is diluted. It's important to keep your own identity as a nation and as a people. And I think it also holds that emphasis in the music as well. So wearing a lick to an anime, so warning your naily. So wearing a lick to an anime, so warning your naily. Pina Hamara Hakum Nightmare, Pina Hamara Hakum Nightmare, Pina Hamara Hakum Nightmare. The white to waste the way my own. So wearing a lick to an anime, so warning your naily. So wearing a lick to an anime, so wearing your naive. The Nin Macog and Mustache Hog, the Nin Macog and Mustache Hog, the Nin Macog and Mustache Hog, Slashing Relish Receive Hog. So wearing a lick to an anime, so wearing your naive. So wearing a lick to an anime, so wearing your naive. So wearing a lick to an anime, so warning your naily. So wearing a lick to an anime, so warning your naily.
This is John Floridis, and you're listening to Musicians Spotlight. We're speaking today with Mairead Nimuini from the band Alton. Mairead, one of the things that I wanted to do in this interview was to take the time to address a couple of questions that, came to us from our listeners through our Facebook page.
Yeah.
And this is a question that comes from Laura, who is a very devoted listener as well as an ardent fan and player of traditional music, traditional Irish music. And she wants to know what your take is on not a small subject, the future of traditional Irish music. And I guess specifically, you know, how will it keep its significance in the coming years and decades with just the change of culture, the change of how we absorb music and so forth. But I know that, you know, someone like her who's so devoted to it, you know, even being an American-born musician and so passionate about it, there are a lot of folks who have that. But what's your take on that huge subject of how the future of traditional Irish music?
The future of traditional Irish music? That's a very, very difficult question.
I know. Sorry.
Well, I'll tell you, when I was growing up, the music wasn't that popular, really. What I noticed around me in northwest Donegal is that it has never been as healthy as it is at this particular time.
Mm.
It has been growing and growing and growing over the last few decades. You know, it's now you cannot find enough teachers to teach different instruments, to teach songs. There's a revolution of Irish traditional music at home at the moment.
Mm.
It's fantastic. Every young child is able to play a whistle or an instrument or sing a song or dance. And there's a great appreciation of what we have in Ireland in our music. It's just lovely to see. And people seem to enjoy it. And it's become a social, and you know, a regular social event to go to sessions. And if you go to small rural pubs, you'll find a fiddle player or a box player in the corner or someone singing a song. So the music has never been as healthy. So I think it's safe enough for another few generations. But what I also notice is in some areas where I used to go to hear older musicians, like if those musicians die out, which it has happened over the years, the music seems to, and their repertoire seems to get lost as well.
Mm.
And I really worry about that locality, that local type of music,
mm,
not remaining.
Yeah.
Someone always needs to be there to keep it alive, or all you need is one person to keep playing the tunes of the older musicians in particular areas. And you lose out a colour or you lose out an accent of music that you might never be able to get back again, you know.
Yeah.
But luckily with the recording process, a lot of this has been kept and maintained, and we have a fantastic Irish music archive in Dublin that does great work at going around to different areas and collecting tunes and songs from the older masters. That's really good that that we can keep it alive in that way. Thank you.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Mairead Nimwini from the group Alton. Mairead, a couple of listeners asked through the Facebook page about your take on the group's experience over the years bringing this music to America. And you touched on that a little bit earlier in our conversation, but they just were interested in your take on the response of the American audiences. And maybe also they were interested in maybe some of the favorite venues the group has played over the years.
What I noticed when we became a band, obviously you gain stagecraft and mm-hmm. you realize that people enjoy singing. So sometimes I would get a song that I'd like the audience to sing along with, like Green Grow the Rushes, though, which is a fantastic Robbie Burns song,
sure.
Scottish song.
Yeah, yeah.
And people love singing it because they're familiar with it. And we used to get the audience always to sing along with that one. And I just blew my head how nicely people would harmonize in the audience and make it sound far nicer than it was on the album, you know. And I always like that, you know, to bring the audience in a lot, as if we were sitting in someone's parlor or in a kitchen and just having a bit of a get-together. The venues, sometimes I remember towns and I remember the restaurant we ate in, but I can't remember. I can't remember the venues. And that shows you how basic it is when you're touring, that it's only food you think about.
Well, I got to take care of those basic needs before you make any art.
That is the basic, that is how basic. And I know a lot of musicians who feel the same. They remember what they ate, but they can't remember the theater they played in.
Now, I heard a story about a concert in Montana, in Missoula specifically. This may go back to the 1980s or early 90s. I believe this was even in the era, if I'm not mistaken, where you and Frankie were touring in between teaching schedules. So this was pretty early on in your career. But apparently there was a story about a car alarm going off to start the song.
And
it was in the exact same key of the tune that... it was quite the effort to try to coordinate, either try to bring the car horn into the tune or try to avoid it.
I remembered well, and everyone was, they were cruising up and down the road, and you could, it was a fantastic evening. I remember the sun was shining and we were inside and we were having a great time at the folk club, and we heard the car, it's a very vivid memory now, the car alarm going off, and we were trying to incorporated into our show then. But it wouldn't change the rhythm anyway.
Oh, that's good. Alton.ie is the name of the website for the band. Altan.ie. That's the website where you can find out all the things that Alton is up to. Mairead, thanks so much for making time to speak with us and be a guest here on Musician Spotlight.
Thank you so much.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Alton. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org. You can also contact us through our own website, musicianspotlight.org, as well as through Facebook. Our program is available as a downloadable podcast from those websites, as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to the Irish Studies Program of the University of Montana for this interview. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.